Chapter 9. I rose to my feet a knighted man, and I clasped the king's hand firmly in a shake. Just to be clear, I haven't actually slain the dragon yet. It's injured, but it still lives.
"It no longer terrorizes my city,"
the king replied with a smile.
"For that, I am eternally grateful to you. Please allow me to formally introduce myself. My name is Frederick von Valenwood, and I am the King of Soil. My family has reigned over this land for generations, but never before has a dragon attacked my fair city. It is a dark omen for times to come, so I was glad to have your assistance today."
I couldn't just stand by while innocent people lost their lives, I pointed out with a shrug.
"I suppose gods do not just stand idly by, though, do they?"
"I am surprised you already knew of my arrival. Most of the time I need to explain who I am first."
"Yes, well, I am no mere citizen. But enough seriousness. For now, you and your men must be weary after your battle and travels. Please allow me to open my home to you."
A bath and a nap sound heavenly, I confirmed with a grateful smile. The king snapped his fingers, and one of the soldiers who stood behind him stepped forward.
"Take the God of Time's horse back to the stables, please," the king commanded.
Then he gestured to another man, who also stepped forward.
"Lead our guests to the west wing of the palace. Thank you."
We all thanked the king again, and then we followed behind the soldier who led us through the winding hallways of the palace. Alyssa was right. It was beautiful. Domed ceilings with intricate paintings graced the corridors, and multi-story windows let in plenty of sunshine to see where we were going. We entered a foyer of sorts, with several arches leading to other hallways and short benches around a large statue of the king. A spiral staircase circled around the sculpture, and then it led up to other levels. It was breathtaking, and I gaped at the art and decor around me. One day, I vowed to live in a palace as grand as this one. The soldier led us through a doorway to my left, and we walked down another long pathway. This one was decorated in a blue color scheme, and paintings lined the walls in between entrances to rooms. Several doors stood open, and when I peered inside with curiosity, I saw lavish bedrooms, luxurious living rooms, and a regal library. There were no people inside, except for the occasional servant, and they smiled at us in a friendly manner as we passed by. I wondered who lived here and why all the rooms were empty, but then the soldier stopped at the end of the hallway. I stepped past him into the doorway he indicated, and my jaw nearly hit the floor at what laid in the room beyond. There was a full kitchen, a dining room, a sitting area, and another hallway full of doors.
"This is all for us?"
I asked. It was like a small apartment complex with a communal living space, and I'd never seen anything so extravagant before.
"Yes, sir," the soldier replied. "This is the West Wing. Everything west of the library is included, but you'll find this section to be the most comfortable."
Thanks. I grinned and looked around. It's pretty incredible.
"Yes, sir,"
the soldier said with a curt nod.
"Are you in need of service? I can send for one of the servants."
Sure. I shrugged. "I'm sure my men will need to eat soon."
"Thank you, sir," Riandale said with a small bow of his head. "A change from our deer rations will be nice."
Don't mention it. I know how hard we all traveled and how long it's been since we ate. Gotta keep my men's strength up.
"Very good, sir,"
the king's man said, and he nodded again before he turned and left the wing.
"We get an entire wing of the palace all to ourselves,"
Alyssa breathed as she ogled the finely decorated living room.
"This is even better than our honeymoon."
"The Duke's castle pales in comparison,"
Mahini agreed, and then she cast an apologetic glance at Evangeline.
"No offense intended. None taken."
The Duke's daughter laughed, and the melodic sound filled up the empty space in the room.
"This is the king's palace, after all, and my father is just one of many dukes."
"Everyone claim a room," I directed my team, and I included the guards who'd been traveling with me in my gaze.
"We all get to stay in the palace?"
Jorgen asked with raised eyebrows.
"Thank you, sir."
The other men had similar expressions of shock on their faces, and I resisted the urge to laugh. I supposed the leaders they were accustomed to were not as generous as I was, but I was happy to be an exception to the asshole rule.
"We're a team. We fight together, we eat together, we might as well sleep in the same wing of the palace. It only seems fair."
"Do you not wish for company at night?"
Mahini asked, with a disappointed expression on her beautiful face.
"Of course we are still going to sleep with him, silly."
Alyssa giggled as she bumped her hip against the desert goddess.
"When else are we going to get a chance to have our own room in a palace, though? I say we should enjoy it while we can."
"She's right. You are always welcome in my bed. You know that."
"Very well,"
Mahini replied, with a tilt of her head that caused her obsidian hair to slide across her face.
"As long as we can cuddle tonight, I will be willing to put my stuff into a separate room."
"We will cuddle every single night for the rest of our lives, if you want," I assured her. Mahini smiled softly and planted a quick kiss on my cheek, and then the three girls meandered down the hallway to investigate the available rooms. The guards followed behind the women, and when the ladies had picked their rooms, the men followed suit with the remaining spaces. Once everyone found a room to their liking, I went off in search of one for myself. I found a room at the end of the hallway, with a large bed, and it was covered with a soft green duvet. The ambiance was warm and inviting, and it felt good to me. So I kicked off my boots, unstrapped my weapons, and went in search of a bath. The bathrooms were just as luxurious as the rest of the suite, and the huge clawfoot tub was the main attraction. It was rimmed with gold paint, and the faucets had ornate designs carved into the metalwork. The water came out boiling hot, and containers of various soaps sat on a small shelf along one side of the tub. I poured them in, generously, and suds soon threatened the edge. Once the bath was full, I settled in with a sigh of contentment. The warm water washed away my aches and pains and soothed my tired muscles, and it was a welcome relief after the hard work of the day. I'd accomplished a lot since I'd left Castle Bullard, but my favorite completed quest was finding Bella in the silver mine. While I enjoyed being a badass who took on griffins and dragons, helping out the little people always warmed my heart in a way that couldn't be replicated by winning a battle. Now, I was in the lap of luxury, and my women and I could spend some time recuperating from the long journey before we headed back to Bastionville. It turned out the king didn't need anyone to tell him about the dragon's presence, so my mission in Valenwood was essentially finished already. Then, my thoughts turned to the dragon, and I furrowed my brow. What could be done about the winged terrorist? And I knew I could kill him if I could get close enough, but his ability to fly was a thorn in my side. Arrows only did so much damage, and I once again thought about the spear I'd lost in the dragon's eye. Where had it ended up? I shook my head to dispel thoughts of things I couldn't change, and then I finished my bath, cleaned up, toweled myself dry, and put on clean clothes. The West Wing was empty when I returned to the main rooms, and I looked around, everywhere, for my crew. When I found no one, I decided to take a moment to clean my armor and gear. I used my towel to wipe the soot and ashes off the metal plates, and then I checked the stats on my griffin feather boots.
Magical item, griffin feather boots. Weight, 0.01 pounds. Durability, 70%. Magical aspect, fleetness. Weakness, -1% durability with each use of fleetness.
I'd used my boots' speed abilities 30 times, but it was hard to keep track of how many times I'd reset and activated them again. Well, I'd have to find an enchanter and repair them soon. I still had 2 griffin feathers left, and I was confident I could make them last a long time, but I didn't know when I would encounter another expert in the field again. Still, if Castle Bullard had an enchanter, then Valenwood must have one as well. After I finished cleaning my gear, I went looking for the members of my group again. I still didn't find anyone, but I noticed our personal possessions had been moved to the empty rooms. I spotted Alyssa's mace leaned against an end table in a room decorated with pink hues, Mahini's armor stacked neatly at the end of another bed, and Evangeline's clothes strewn all over a different room. Finally, I found one of the guards who'd traveled with me from Bullard. It took me a second to remember his name, but I'd been introduced to him during my first encounter with the dragon. His name was Kylor, and he had red hair that hung around his wide ears and a bulbous nose that overshadowed his thin lips. But it was hard to judge his age. He had the attitude of an old man, but there were no age lines on his face. "Where did everyone go?" I asked in a curious tone.
"I went into the city to drink,"
the guardsman answered me.
"I was left behind to wait for you."
"Well, I'm glad someone is still here. Do you want to join them? Because I certainly do."
"Let's do it, sir."
Kylor nodded enthusiastically. The two of us ventured out into the city, in search of the tavern where the rest of the men had ended up. I stopped and questioned the guard outside the palace, and he informed me my friends had gone to the Winking Wench. So we traveled through the smoldering, scarred city toward the tavern the guard directed us to. A short while later, we'd found our party, and everyone greeted me with cheers and applause.
"Sir Sebastian, sir,"
Riandel greeted as he inclined his head respectfully.
"Can I still call you Bosh?"
Jorgen asked as he clapped me on the shoulder.
"Of course,"
I laughed and gave the hunter a broad smile.
"The dragon is scared of you. It flew off as soon as it laid its eyes on you."
"You have excellent eyesight. If you were able to see all of that from the palace steps, where were you really watching from?"
"I may have snuck down the street a couple of blocks,"
Evangeline replied as a blush colored her cheeks. She looked like she was trying not to smile, and the resulting expression was adorable. "Well, it's hard for me to be mad now," I said, and my smile never faltered. "I suppose I should expect as much from Soriel's greatest escape master."
"Ooh, does Eva get a cute nickname too?"
Alyssa giggled as she stepped inside my arms. "Hello, my love," I greeted my wife as I wrapped her up in a tight embrace.
"I don't know, do you think she's ready for one?"
"I'm not so sure about that,"
Mahini murmured as she sidled up against me. "Hey there," I said, and I opened my arm to include my bonded sword maiden. "I missed you."
"I missed you too,"
the desert goddess replied, with a smile shining in her piercing blue eyes.
"Did you enjoy your bath?"
"Oh, I enjoyed it immensely. I feel like I washed away years of my life."
"Perhaps that is how you maintain your godly youthfulness,"
Eva mused as she tapped her finger against her chin.
"I will figure out the secret to your power eventually."
"Well, don't hurt yourself trying," I laughed, and then I changed the subject back to baths. "Didn't any of you bathe? I had to wash off the soot and ashes, plus the road dirt I accumulated between my toes."
"We cleaned up quickly,"
Mahini said with a shrug.
"But we were more interested in drinking away the dragon fear than in cleaning up."
"Aye, that's what I've been waiting for," Kylor interjected. "Where can I find a drink?"
"Over here, my friend."
Riandale laughed, and he led us all over to the bar. We got mugs of beer, and then we all crowded around two of the tables. There were only 5 tables in the whole establishment, and the rest of them were full of soldiers who'd fought against the fiery blaze before we even showed up. I paused before sitting down, and I cleared my throat loudly. Once everyone's eyes were on me, I lifted my mug and looked directly at the soldiers who sat nearby.
"Today, a hard battle was fought. A battle against fire itself. The element destroyed homes, businesses, and lives in one fell swoop. And the brave men here tonight were the city's main line of defense against the terror of the dragon."
I nodded to emphasize my words, and I lifted my drink up even higher.
"Tonight, let us drink away our worries, our fears, and the memory of the blaze itself."
"Hear, hear!"
The men all shouted, and they stomped their feet in a chorus of joy. The vibrations shook the entire room, and some of my beer sloshed out of my mug. I laughed with abandon, and then I took a long swig of my drink.
Finally, I sat down with the men while the women slipped into the crowd and disappeared, and we quickly went through a round of drinks while we laughed about our journeys so far. I got to know the men I'd been traveling with a little better, and I learned little details about why Riandale had picked them specifically. Jorgen was obviously a talented hunter and tracker, and Corvus was dedicated to the horses' care. But three of the men were Riandale's cousins. Bryn, Thanor, and Ian all had the same grandmother as the young lieutenant, and they'd grown up practicing their fighting skills together. Then there were the twins Isaac and Asher, and they both shared the same wheat-colored blonde hair and blue eyes. Kylor seemed to be the odd man out, since he'd been picked based on his performance during their basic training. He'd moved to Bullard as a young man and had only begun learning how to fight, but he quickly rose through the ranks of the guardsmen to earn Riandale's respect. After getting to know the men a bit more, my opinion of the young lieutenant was even higher than it had been originally. He had a keen eye for potential, regardless of his familial bias toward his cousins. Bryn was skilled with a two-handed sword, while Thanor preferred to wield two short axes, and Ian hefted a large broadsword.
"Spar with us one day, great one,"
Isaac insisted after he described his prized possession, a spear handed down from his grandfather.
"I saw the way you used that spear to gouge out the beast's eye. I'd like to learn a thing or two about your techniques." "Oh, aye, that would be a good time,"
Corvus added in a hopeful tone.
"Do you have any experience with a warhammer?"
"I have experience with all things," I shrugged.
"Shall we order another round?"
Riandale interjected with a grin.
"My cup's gone dry for some reason."
"Do it to it," I quipped as I mirrored his expression of joy. "Make mine a double."
"A double what?"
he asked as he furrowed his eyebrows in confusion. never mind. Just get me two, please."
"Of course, great one,"
the young lieutenant said before he nodded curtly and then turned on his heels and headed to the bar.
"So, as we were saying,"
Asher continued the conversation in a cheerful voice,
"you are agreeing to spar later?"
"You guys really want to pit yourselves against me?" I scratched my growing beard and pretended to think it over. "All right, I think I can manage that. Tomorrow I will test your battle skills."
"Then where will we go?"
Eva asked as she took Riandale's place beside me. Alyssa and Mahini followed behind her, and I wondered where the three women had run off to. I'd enjoyed talking to the men, but I'd missed the three ladies.
"Yes, great one. Are we going to go back to Bullard or home to Bastionville?
Or somewhere else?"
Alyssa gasped as she clasped her hands together.
"Ooh, we could go on another adventure."
"Is that what you want?" I countered with a lift of one eyebrow, and the corners of my lips twitched up into a smile at her lust for adventure. The small-town girl had broadened her horizons, and she already craved more.
"I believe that's what we all want,"
Riandale said, and the young lieutenant held several mugs in each hand. "To follow you through all your adventures, to help wherever and however we can, and to give our lives to serving the God of Time."
"My sentiments exactly,"
Jorgen agreed in a decisive tone.
"I say we all swear fealty to the Great One, and him alone, until death."
"Well, technically you are still the Duke's men," I pointed out with furrowed eyebrows. "I wouldn't want to get on the Duke's bad side any more than I already have."
"If you want to discuss technicalities,"
Eva countered with a sly smile,
"then you are a god, and that makes you technically above my father in power. I say if someone wants to swear loyalty to you, then you should let them. But that's just my opinion."
"Hear, hear!"
Corvus chanted, and he placed his fist over his heart. Riandale, Jorgen, Kylor, the twins, and the rest of the men copied the motion, and they looked toward me with solemn faces and determined eyes. I didn't know exactly what to say or how to respond, but I figured I could reset if I said the wrong thing so I couldn't go wrong. I made a new save point just in case, and I took a moment to think up some good oath words for my new followers.
"I think they want you to give them a vow,"
Mahini murmured in my ear, and her icy blue gaze was full of love.
"All right. Repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to follow the commands of the Great One."
The guardsmen copied my words in unison, and then they paused expectantly. But I noticed Evangeline had joined in with them. "I will serve the god of time, body, mind, and soul, until the end of time," I continued, and Eva and the men repeated the words perfectly. "Oh, you are now sworn brethren of the god of time. What shall we call you?"
"Ooh, what about Bastions?"
Alyssa suggested. "Oh, I like that." I grinned and hugged her around the shoulder with one arm.
"Bastions it is,"
Mahini confirmed with a sideways smile, and she folded her arms over her chest and cocked one hip to the side.
"It's kind of like the Golden Sword Oath."
"Yeah, sort of, but different," I shrugged.
"I like that our oath to each other was special,"
Mahini said in a soft voice, and her eyelashes fluttered as desire flooded her piercing blue eyes. And she stripped me naked in her mind, if the tongue dancing across her lower lips was any indication.
"You two are practically married,"
Alyssa pointed out in a happy tone as she twirled a strand of her fiery tendrils around one finger. "Well, that's true," I grinned, and then I shot a subtle glance at Eva. There was a conflicted expression in her smoky gray eyes, and I could tell she was thinking about my promise for more to come. Mahini's sharp gaze followed mine, and she chuckled under her breath.
"There's always room for more,"
the desert goddess purred softly in my ear so that only I could hear her. I raised my eyebrows in surprise at how forward she was being. Mahini wasn't usually one to be so direct, but I could tell she liked Evangeline and wanted her to stay with our group.
You really think so?"
I swallowed down the sudden moisture that had risen to my mouth.
"I like her,"
Mahini shrugged, and a teasing look danced in her blue eyes.
"And Alyssa does too. What are we talking about?"
Alyssa interjected with a giggle. Her emerald eyes flicked to Eva's face, and then back to mine with a questioning look.
Yep, I nodded, and I resisted the urge to laugh.
"Oh."
My wife grinned, and she batted her eyelashes at me playfully.
"Does she get to come with us on our next adventure?" "Who, me?"
Eva asked, as she finally heard what we were talking about.
"Yes, you."
Alyssa giggled, and she took the other girl's hand in hers.
"Bash was just telling us you get to come with us all on our next adventure."
"Well, I have just sworn to follow him until the end of time,"
Eva pointed out with a broad smile that lit up her whole face with happiness. She practically glowed, and her smoky gray eyes twinkled and reflected the light from the gas lamps hung from the rafters.
"Well, welcome aboard Team Bash," I said, and I lifted my mug for a toast. "To the Bastions!
To the Bastions!
Everyone repeated as they copied my motion and lifted their own drinks. I emptied my mug in one long gulp, and then I slammed the cup down on the table before anyone else finished. I let out a loud belch, and a couple of people snorted so hard beer came out of their noses. We continued to drink late into the night, and then we all made our way back to the West Wing. The tavern owner insisted he would send the bill to the palace, so our drunken shenanigans hadn't cost us a single coin. The palace hallways were empty, except for the guards, who stood at the entrance to our wing, and I bade them good night with a tip of an invisible hat as I passed by. I crashed onto my big bed in a drunken heap, and I barely registered the two women climbing onto the mattress beside me. Mahini and Alyssa took their normal positions on each side of my torso, and we tangled our legs together into a giant pretzel. We fell asleep in blissful contentment, but I had a brief longing for Eva to also be there. Now, soon enough, I would win over the Duke's daughter completely, but I wanted it to be her choice. The next morning dawned bright and early, and the light burning around the edges of the curtains illuminated the room enough for me to see around. My skull didn't ache as much as I'd thought it would, but my mouth was dry and parched. I spotted a jug of water and a few cups sitting on a small table on the side of the room, so I gently untangled myself from the two beauties beside me, and I crossed the distance to the life-preserving fluid. I drank heavily, and I gulped down the water until I was completely satisfied.
Then I got dressed, grabbed my griffin feathers, stuffed them into my pocket, and went in search of some sort of hangover cure.
"Good morning, Great One,"
Riandale greeted as soon as I entered the main living space of the West Wing.
"Morning,"
I sighed, and I wondered how the lieutenant seemed so chipper when he also had the same amount of drink the night before.
"You sound like you need my grandmother's recipe for a headache,"
the young man observed in a cheerful voice.
"Here, let me pour you a cupful."
"It would be lovely if it works," I replied as I took a seat at the table beside him. The lieutenant poured a green-colored beverage from a pitcher into a cup, and then he slid the drink across the table to me.
"Don't inhale, just drink,"
he cautioned with a twinkle in his eyes. I gulped down the bubbly beverage, and I resisted the urge to gag, but then I emptied the cup dutifully before I set it down once more. The dull throb in my head abated, though, and I sighed in relief as the pain subsided.
Oh, you'll have to teach me your recipe,
I told the lieutenant with a grateful smile.
That wasn't delicious, but it has already made me feel better.
It works fast, Riandale agreed with a nod.
I was feeling pretty heavy myself, and I'm usually an early riser.
Yeah, I have been too since coming to this world, I said, and for a moment I was nostalgic for sleeping in with my blackout curtains pulled tightly shut. But I'd trade that for two beautiful women and a world at my feet any day. Maybe I'll take a nap later, catch up on some sleep.
Do you have a busy day planned? Anything I can help you with?
Well, I need to go into the city, I mused as I furrowed my eyebrows. I need to find an enchanter's shop to repair some of my gear.
I'm sure you will find what you are looking for,
Riandale shrugged.
I'm not familiar with enchanted gear, so I wouldn't be able to help with that, but I can make sure your unenchanted items are in good condition.
I appreciate that, but it's not necessary. I like to take care of my own things. It's a point of pride with me.
Very well,
Riandale replied as he inclined his head.
I can respect that. I'm the same way, to be honest.
Well, great minds think alike, I quipped, and then I clapped the man on the shoulder as I pushed myself up from my chair.
I'll head into town to see what I can find before the ladies wake up. If I'm not back when they do, will you let them know where I've gone? Of course, Great One,
Riandale confirmed immediately, and he gave me a broad smile and saluted.
I will make sure they lack for nothing during our stay at the palace.
That's what servants are for, I countered with a wink. You should relax and enjoy yourself, too. There's no telling when we will get beds as nice as this again.
Oh, they are certainly better than I am accustomed to.
Evangeline groaned as she walked into the room and stretched her arms over her head sleepily.
I slept like a dead person.
Good. I'm glad you got your rest.
Where are you off to?
The Duke's daughter asked, and I noticed she was already dressed for the day. She wore a soft purple dress with a scoop neck that accentuated the fine lines of her throat. Her pale skin glowed in comparison to the dark hue of the outfit, and the color brought out the pink tinge of her lips and cheeks. Whew, she truly was stunning in both a dress and armor. Well, I was about to explore the city for a while, I explained, and then I wiggled my eyebrows. Care to come with me?
Absolutely, it would be my pleasure.
Oh, that's not the only way I'll pleasure you, I countered with a seductive wink. Eva stammered, and her cheeks grew rosy red. You'll see. I grinned and left it at that. Then I held out my elbow, and I jerked my chin toward the door. Shall we?
We shall.
Eva giggled and took my offered elbow. The two of us left the west wing of the palace, and we headed out into the streets of Valenwood. Then we walked up and down the winding roads of the wagon-wheel-designed city until I spotted the enchanter's shop. The building was squat and sat behind two much taller structures, and it looked like it had been squashed by a giant hand. A small painted sign swung from the awning and advertised enchanted weapons and armor. It didn't look like anyone was inside, but it was still early, so I crossed the distance to the threshold and Then I knocked firmly on the door.
Come in,
an elderly voice called out from inside. I turned the handle, and I gestured for Evangeline to enter before me. She smiled and squeezed past me, but our bodies rubbed together for the briefest moment, and heat rose to her cheeks. I liked making her blush. It was probably my new favorite hobby. The voice who beckoned us inside belonged to an old man in a tattered blue robe. The hood of his cloak shadowed his face, but I saw lines of age etched across every inch of skin. He looked just as old and squat as the building he occupied, and he laboriously pushed himself to his feet as we entered. He'd been sitting in one of three armchairs that faced the fireplace at the back of the room, and because the windows were dingy and covered in grime, the flames were the only source of light in the space.
My name is Maximus the Enchanter. How can I be of service today?
The old man asked with a small bow. My name is Sir Sebastian, the God of Time, and I'm an enchanter myself. I was wondering if I can use your workbench for a bit.
I'd be happy to repair something for you,
Maximus countered with furrowed eyebrows.
It is uncommon for people to ask to do the work themselves.
Oh, the item is very special to me. I'd prefer to work on it myself.
Very well, Sir Sebastian.
Maximus relented as he inclined his head to me.
While he is working,
Eva interjected with a soft smile.
I'd love to hear about your work.
That is very kind of you,
the enchanter replied, and he settled into his chair once more. Evangeline took one of the unoccupied chairs, and she leaned her elbows on her knees and rested her chin on her hands.
Please, tell me about how you first came to own this shop,
she prompted, once the old man looked comfortable. Since I was content that they were both occupied, I turned my attention to the workbench. I gathered together the tools and ingredients I'd used before to craft the griffin feather boots, and then I repeated the process I'd learned from Bernyolf, the enchanter in Castle Bullard. It didn't take me very long to grind one of the feathers into dust, and then I added it to the liquid and poured it over the designs on my boots. The solution glowed for a moment, and then it faded once more. But I knew they would light up when I activated the fleetness ability. Finally, I checked the stats to make sure I'd completed the process correctly.
Magical item, griffin feather boots. Weight, 0.01 pounds. Durability, 100%. Magical aspect, fleetness. Weakness, -1% durability with each use of fleetness.
They were perfect, and I let out a little fist pump over my success. It had been easier than I'd expected to retrace the designs on the boots, but now the durability was back to 100%, so I had 100 more uses in my arsenal. I only had one more feather left, but I could always go to the griffin's nest to acquire more feathers and even some talons. I would need to do it soon, since I used my boots so much, though, and I wanted to experiment with my other gear as well. Would pieces of a dragon enchant things? Excitement coursed through my veins as I thought about the possibilities that could unfold from defeating the dragon once and for all. I knew from my video game experience that dragon scales and bones were usually valuable, and armor crafted from the lizard's body was always among the strongest tiers. Now that I was satisfied with the condition of all of my gear, I cleared my throat to get Evangeline and Maximus's attention.
I'm all finished.
I pulled a gold coin out of my pocket and handed it to the enchanter. Thank you for the use of your shop.
Any time, Sir Sebastian.
Maximus nodded.
Maybe next time you will have time to chat about where you learned your enchanting skills from.
I would like that, I agreed with a friendly smile.
I'll give you a hint, though. I learned in Castle Bullard.
Maximus tossed back his head and let out a belly laugh.
Oh, how is old Bernyolf?
He's good, I grinned.
I'll tell him you say hello.
Please do.
Maximus nodded.
It was nice to meet you.
Eva said as she squeezed the old man's hands affectionately, and then she got up and stood by my side.
Until next time.
We waved goodbye, and then we headed back out to the streets of Valenwood. The city had fared well after the dragon's attack, and there were already people fixing roofs and cleaning soot from walls. They would bounce back quickly, but it would all be for nothing if the dragon returned. I frowned. Well, something had to be done about the dragon.
What shall we do next, Great One?
Eva asked with a radiant smile as she tentatively took my hand in hers. I squeezed her fingers and gave her a broad grin. Oh, what would you like to do?
Have you eaten?
She cocked one eyebrow, and my stomach grumbled in response. Her laugh was like water in a desert, and I was a dehydrated man.
I'll take that as a no.
Hey, I had other priorities. I felt like I was back at prom, and I was trying to decide if I wanted to dance or not. I resisted the urge to laugh out loud at myself, and I swung our hands through the air like we were 12-year-olds and just had our first kiss. Suddenly, a man with short-cropped brown hair wearing a velvet-green tunic trimmed in gold ran up to us, and he bowed deeply when he came to a stop.
Sebastian the Great One, he said in a breathless voice. King Frederick has summoned you to the throne room.
Thank you, I said as I returned the man's bow. I'll go soon.
But the king has summoned you,
the man stammered, and he wrung his hands together anxiously. I heard you. I kept my face expressionless and my voice neutral. I'm the god of time, and I go where I want, when I want. I am anxious to talk to the king myself. He stared at me for a long moment in silence, and it looked like he was trying to regain his composure. Apparently, everyone just immediately obeyed the king, but, well, I was about to change that. There was a god in town, and I wanted Valenwood to know it.
Very good, sir,
the man finally said in a clipped voice.
I will let the king know.
Then he turned and went back the way he'd come, and Eva burst out laughing by my side.
Oh, my father would have been furious if someone said that to him. Oh, that was excellent.
Oh, yeah? I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, shall we go find some breakfast?
Oh, my, you were being serious.
Her eyes went as wide as saucers, and her jaw fell slack. I don't say things I don't mean, I informed her with a flirty wink. And I don't forget the promises I've made. Eva seemed at a loss for words, so I merely took her hand again, and I led her back to the palace. We made our way through the streets of Valenwood, and the Duke's daughter sent me sidelong glances the entire trip, and smiled shyly whenever I made eye contact with her. Her demure demeanor toward me was a major turn-on, and I resisted the urge to pull her into a shadowy alcove for another stolen kiss. I was hungry for more than Evangeline, though, so I hurried my pace to reach my breakfast faster. The rest of the men were already up and lounging about the west wing when we finally arrived in our suite, and the food spread out over the dining room table was mostly untouched. I made myself a plate full of fried eggs, biscuits and gravy, salty potatoes and sausages, and I dug in without a word. When I'd finished, I leaned back with a contented sigh and rested my hands on the back of my head.
Bash!
Alyssa greeted happily as she bounced into the room. Her bright yellow dress sashayed around her ankles with each rapid motion she made, and the light color accentuated the freckles along her neck and cheeks.
I've been looking for you. The king has summoned all of us to the throne room.
Oh, you too, huh? I asked with a sideways smile. Yeah, had to eat breakfast first.
Oh, good.
Mahini said as she came in behind my wife.
I was worried you would miss it and go straight to the throne room.
Ah, no point talking to a king on an empty stomach.
The Great One told the messenger he'd come when he was ready. It was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. You need to get out more.
Alyssa countered with a flick of her fiery tendrils.
Show me what I've been missing.
Eva shot back in a teasing voice. I'm ready now if you are, I interjected as I glanced with amusement between the two women. It would be best if we all went together anyway.
Very well, Great One.
Eva replied with a tilt of her head, and the eyelashes above her smoky gray eyes fluttered in a flirtatious manner. Her shyness seemed to dim when Mahini and Alyssa were present, and I made a mental note of my women's effect on the Duke's daughter.
I am ready,
Mahini added with a curt nod. She was wearing a dress for a change, and the soft blue material matched the color of her eyes perfectly. The arms were billowy and loose, and they flowed with her every movement.
Me too,
Alyssa confirmed, and she nodded enthusiastically.
The king seems really nice. I wonder what he wants from us.
Oh, probably just a full report about yesterday's dragon attack, I assumed with a shrug. Then a thought struck me, and I called to Riandale, who was lounging on a couch in the next room over. Hey! Reman! You should come with us, too. You can tell the king about your experience with his men.
The king's soldiers were capable,
Riandale said over the back of the couch in a thoughtful tone.
I'd be happy to give a report to the king, though.
Good. It's settled. I pushed up from my chair and brushed off my shirt. Let's go see the king. Our troops gathered together, and I took a quick head count. There was a talented shield maiden, a fiery mace wielder, a stealthy escape artist, and a young lieutenant. So we were good to go. We walked through the hallways in search of the throne room at a quick pace, with our shoulders straight and our chins lifted. There wasn't a group of people in the world I trusted more at this point, and I was proud of the company I brought before the king. I made a new save point before we went any further, though, since I wanted my meeting with the king to be perfect. We found the throne room at the end of the hallway, behind the giant stone statue of the king, and the lavish decorations were amped up to a million in the extravagant room. Green carpets ran the entire length of the massive room, and gold sconces emitted a soft glow of light. Behind the dais, where the throne sat, a humongous window let in streaks of light that bathed the throne in shadows. It was certainly an imposing scene, and the king looked especially regal as he sat upon the throne with an arm tossed over the side casually.
"Good morning, Your Highness," I greeted in a loud voice as my group approached the throne.
"Ah, at last," the king said in a friendly tone. "I've been looking forward to speaking with you, Great One."
"I take it you are wanting a full report on yesterday's incident?" I guessed in a curious voice.
"Yes, that too," the king waved a dismissive hand. "First, satiate my curiosity about you, Sir Sebastian. Where did you come from?"
"I was summoned to this world by the sorcerer Raijin Thornheart," I explained, and I rolled my eyes. "I don't really want to talk about him, though. He was an asshole, if you know what I mean."
"I do not."
The king frowned and scratched his chin.
"But very well. Perhaps you would be willing to tell me of your travels through soil so far. I'm curious to see how a god was received in my land."
"I thought you said you had ears everywhere." I crossed my arms over my chest and raised one eyebrow. "Wouldn't you have already heard of my travels?"
"I have heard rumors of your appearance in my land,"
the king confirmed with a nod. Then he stood from the throne and stepped down from the dais.
"I thought it could be the typical mystical murmurings of bored citizens. There's been talk of other things, goblins, griffins, and the like, but you and I both know these are rare occurrences."
"Well, I've encountered both. Perhaps you need to get out more and get to know the people you rule."
"Ah, there's been too much conflict lately for me to take time away from the throne. So much squabbling among the lesser nobles. Everyone wants what someone else has. If I vacated the throne even for a short while, the civilian unrest would grow even stronger."
"Well, maybe if you got to know your people wouldn't feel restless."
Perhaps you are right,"
the king mused in a thoughtful tone.
"But now is not the time to tour the countryside. A dragon is on the loose."
"That is exactly why we came to Valinwood in the first place. Duke Bullard requires aid."
"Ha! Typical of him. Bullard is always wanting something from me. He even asked me to help him clear goblins from one of his mines."
Mahini and I
were the ones to kill the goblins in the copper mine. I informed him as I jerked my chin toward the desert goddess.
That's right.
She confirmed with a nod.
The Great One saved the town, and it was renamed in his honor. It's called Bastionville now.
Alyssa chimed in with a cheerful smile.
You should have your maps updated.
You have enough men in reserves?
Riandale interjected in a frustrated tone.
So why can't you spare some for Bullard? It's not the Duke's fault a dragon attacked, after all.
Remember your place, soldier. Do not speak to your king in such a bold manner.
Riandale is my man. I cut in with a harsh glare at the king. Only I can tell him what he can and cannot do. In my opinion, you need to answer his question.
I wouldn't be able to spare a single man with a dragon on the loose,
the king countered with a shake of his head. Fine. I shrugged, and I gave the king a decisive look. I'll kill the dragon.
I almost bit the words back into my mouth, but I knew it was my destiny.
The people of Soriel needed a hero, and their leaders weren't stepping up to the plate. It was up to me, and me alone. I was going to be Sir Sebastian, the God of Time and Dragon Slayer.